Okay, we start.
It's raining outside. Rishusam, Chashver Beim, Nalim. Just want to thank you for having me back. Usually when I speak, they don't ask me back. But this time they did, so I guess that's a good sign. They like my last speech. So we'll try to talk a little bit about Hanukkah and a little bit about life. Okay, so I want to start with a story. Very interesting story. Did anyone here ever hear of the Oyev Yisrael, the Abderav? No one heard of him? The Abderav, okay. One person. The Abderav was called the Oyev Yisrael. He wrote a sefer called Oyev Yisrael because he loved Jews. He loved people. He was one of the first rabbis in the 1700s. So listen to this story. You have to use it. It's not just an easy story to listen to. You have to like...
Yid comes to his Rebbe, to the Abderav, and says, Rebbe, I have no money, I have to make a wedding. Help me out. So the Rebbe tells him, how much money you have? He says, I only have 100 rubles. 100 rubles left. $100, it's not enough to make a wedding. He says, how much you need? He says, I need at least 1,000 rubles to make the wedding. So the Abderav tells him like this, I want you to do the following. I want you to go into business. The first business deal that comes along, jump in. Jump into the deal, don't be scared, and that's it. So he comes to an inn, he's heading back home, he stops off in an inn, and there's some guys there drinking, getting drunk, and they start laughing at him. You know, he looks like a chassidish guy with his payas, and they're not so chassidish, and they start laughing at him. And one of them calls him over and says, come over here. He says, what do you do? He says, what do you mean? I'm a businessman. The Rebbe told him he's a businessman, so he's a businessman. He goes, really? We also business people. He says, I want to make you a deal. I want to sell you something. How much money you have on you? He says, I have 100 ruble. What kind of business do you want? He says, I'm going to sell you my Olam Haba. You give me the 100 ruble, I give you my Olam Haba. You want a deal or not? What do you say? Take the deal or not? Take it? 100%. So he takes it. Why? Because the Rebbe said, the first deal that comes along, you're in. He says, the Rebbe said. Anyway, shakes his hand, and he hands him the 100 ruble, and he says, I want it on paper. So he takes out a piece of paper, and he writes it down. Yankel, Seltish Merrill, Mayo Ilam Haba, 100 ruble, sign on the dotted line. They both sign. He takes the paper with him, hands him his 100 ruble, and he's off to the races. That's it. He just made a great business deal. So he comes home to his wife. You can imagine his wife wasn't so happy with him. Now they're down to 0 ruble. And what does he have? He has a piece of paper from someone that he's told him is Olam Haba, but the Rebbe said. Sure enough, this guy who sold his Olam Haba comes home, and he tells his wife, he's still drunk, he tells his wife, you're not going to believe what happened today. He says, I have 100 ruble, we're going out to eat. Yeah, the party begins. And he tells her the whole story, and she tells him, you did what? She tells him, out of the house, you're gone. I'm not staying married to a guy who has no Olam Haba. Yeah, I want to torture you in this world and the next world. If we're not going to be together in Olam Haba, who am I going to bother in Olam Haba? I have no one to... So, we're done. That's it. Game over. And he says, what are you talking about? It's a joke. I took 100 ruble from him. What are you getting so upset about? I didn't mean it. So she says, what do you mean? You told me you signed the paper with him. This is serious business. I'm not... doing anything, you're out of the house until you have your Olam Haba back. And she refuses to listen, he has no choice, and he starts running to the town. He's looking, where does he find the guy? He finally does some research. He's able to track him down. It takes him a few days. He comes, he knocks on the door of the guy, and he says to him, I need to buy my Olam Haba back. Here's 100 ruble. He says, no. He says, I'm a businessman. He says, I didn't go into this just to make the same amount of money back. You have to pay me. He says, what do you mean? He says, listen, you want it back. We go to my Rebbe, and whatever the Rebbe says, I sell it to you for, that's what you sell it to you for. And they go in back to the Abderav, and the Abderav says, you have to pay him $1,000 for the Olam Haba. $1,000? 1,000 ruble? He has no choice. He takes out 1,000 ruble, and he pays the guy, and now the guy has money for his wedding, happily ever after. Till the guy comes home. So he comes home and he tells his wife, here, I got the paper back. I got my Olam Haba back. She says, how'd you get it back? She says, well, he took me to the Rebbe. I paid him 1,000 ruble. She goes, "You fool, 1,000 ruble for your Olam Haba? Your Olam Haba is worth $1 maybe, tops. I just wanted you to get it. $1,000? What are you, crazy?" And she's fuming at her husband. How do you do such a thing? So she says, "We're going back to this Rebbe. We're not giving in so easy." And she schleps him back to the Abderav. And she walks into the Abderav and says, "Rebbe, you did a terrible thing. You did a horrible..." And she asks him like this. Something doesn't add up over here. If my husband's Olam Haba is worth 1,000 ruble, then when he purchased it for 100, he ripped me off. He stole it from my husband. He should have paid him 1,000 ruble. Why did he pay him only 100? And if it was right that he purchased it only for 100, so then why are you making him pay 1,000 now? The two things can't go together. Either his Olam Haba is worth $100 or it's worth 1,000. If it's worth 100, so then he ripped him off when he sold it back to him for 1,000. If it's worth 100, so then sell it back for 1,000. The two things don't add up. You like the question? Good, Taina? She's saying good? She's arguing her case well? No? I think it's a good case, no? It happens to be, by the way, that's the halacha, you know. You're not allowed to rip someone off. Works both ways. You're not allowed to rip someone off, even if you're purchasing something. Yeah. Let's say I go into a store and I see something on the shelf and I know that thing is worth... Yeah, I go into a store, they're selling baseball cards, and he has over there... baseball cards still a thing? Whatever, basketball cards. Yeah, and he sees a Michael Jordan rookie, yeah? Guy's selling it for $5. I have to tell the guy, this is not worth $5. This is worth $10,000 or whatever it is. You can't just buy it for $5. You're stealing from the guy. Yeah. So the same thing over here. If the Olam Haba is worth it, he stole it. If it's worth 1,000, pay it back. So listen to what the Abderav said. Brilliant. Listen to this brilliance. He said like this. He said, the guy did nothing wrong. Your Olam Haba is worth what you value it. What I value my Olam Haba, that's what it's worth. When you sold it to him for 100 ruble, that's what you felt the value of your Olam Haba was. It was 100 ruble. So he paid you 100 ruble. Now, how much is it worth to you? You want to go home. Your wife's not taking you back in the house unless you have your Olam Haba. Now it's worth 1,000 ruble. It went up in price. So he did nothing wrong. He bought it back for exactly what the price was. He sold it for the right price. He bought it back for the right price. End the story. Have a nice day. And that's what the Abderav told him. Good story? What's the lesson of the story?
Follow your wife.
Follow your wife. That's one lesson. Yeah, that's a very good lesson, by the way. You ready for marriage? What grade are you in? Ninth. Wow, okay. What's the lesson of the story? Anyone want to try? No one wants to try. Don't rip off people. That's a good lesson also. Follow your wife. Don't rip off people. These are all great lessons. Yeah. Anyone else?
Don't sell your
Olam Haba. Yeah, that's also a good lesson. Yeah. Don't sell your Olam Haba. How much you want for your Olam Haba? Nothing. Not for sale. You should know. I know this Rabbi Weinberger. He has a shul on Avenue M and Ocean Parkway. He told me he once walked with his son. Listen to this story. It's a great story. They have sukkahs. They have a shuk. A shuk, you know, the shuk is they have like a marketplace. All the esrogim dealers bring their esrogim and they sell them at low prices, cheap prices. You can get an esrog for $30, $40. Anyway, he's Erev Yontif. He goes with his son to buy his son an esrog, and his son picks up a winner. A beauty. What it was doing there, he has no idea. And someone's looking over his shoulder, the chassidish guy, looking over his shoulder, and he tells the kid, he says, "Listen, I work for a Rebbe, a big Rebbe, and he opened his esrog today that he spent $1,000 on, and it's turned brown. And he's desperate. He doesn't have an esrog. I don't know where you found that." He says, "Give me the esrog. It's for a Rebbe." The kid looks up at his father, and his father looks at him, and he says, "Well..." The guy says, "I'll give you 100 for it. He paid $30. He looks up at his father, and his father says, "It's up to you." He says, "No deal." He says, "I'll give you 200. Looks up at him. "No deal. 300 already, the kid's already, you know what I'm saying? You know, 300's already, that's a serious number. No, you could buy a scooter? What happens to a scooter nowadays? Yeah, 300's a real number." He looks up at his father and he says, "Tati, what do I do? What do I do? It's $300. He says, "If you ask me, there's no money in the world you sell a mitzvah for. If he offers you the world, you don't sell that esrog." And the kid told him, "I'm sorry," deals off, and he walked away. No deal. The lesson of the story is, You know what tzchar, you know what reward you get for your mitzvah? Whatever value you place on it. If you value your mitzvahs, you value them, you take pride in them, you enjoy them, you place a value on them, then that's what Hashem pays you back. If your mitzvahs are like, blah, blah, yeah. You realize you put on tefillin this morning, you know what a great thing that is? You know how much reward you're going to get for that? If you value it, then that's the tremendous reward you're going to get for it. You're going to get so much reward for it if you just value it. But if you, I put it on this, I put on my tzitzis, you don't have any value in it. What does it do for me? What do mitzvahs do for me? What do my ma'asim tovim do for me? If I help at home, you help out at home. You know what a mitzvah that is? Greatest mitzvah in the world. You know how much olam haba you're going to get for that? You know how much value that is? How much would you sell that for? You wouldn't sell it for all the money in the world. Then that's the value you're going to get. Then that's the reward you're going to get. That's the lesson of the story. That's the lesson of the story. We're coming up to Hanukkah. Can we do something deep? Something deep? Something a little deep? I'll tell you something from Moshe Shapiro. You ever hear of Moshe Shapiro? Moshe Shapiro was a very deep thinker. He gave thousands of shiurim. He gave about 30 shiurim a week, but he was very deep. His shiurim were deep. 99% of what he says I don't understand, but this one I happen to understand, so I'll share it with you. He says like this, Yavan, who's good at math? Yavan, anyone do gematrius here? What's Yavan? Yavan is the Yavanim, right? The Yavanim, Hanukkah took place, the Yavanim, the Greeks. Yavanim is who said?
66.
66, excellent. He says Yavan, 66, is the gematria of Gal-Gal. Is he right? He made that up? Gal-Gal? Gal is 33, Gal-Gal, 33 times 2. 66. What is a galgal?
A wheel.
A wheel. Who said that? Wow, a wheel. What does Yavan have to do with a wheel? He says, what did Yavan stand for? What did the Greek stand for? The Greek said God created the world. God created the world. And then he just let it go. Everything just rolled right along. What is a wheel? A wheel, you give it a push, and it keeps on rolling by itself. That's a wheel. So he says, this is brilliant, yeah? That's what a wheel is. He says, Yavan, the gematria of Yavan is Gal-Gal, a wheel. The wheel just keeps on rolling. That's what Yavan says. It keeps on rolling. Hashem's not running the world. It keeps on running and running and running away. The word Gal is very strange. Gal, the sheirish of the word Gal, the root of the word Gal comes from Giloy. Giloy, what does Giloy mean? Anyone know what Giloy means? Gili means to like brighten, to open up, to be megala, to open things up. The word gal also means to close something up. A gal shel avanim is a mount of rocks where something's buried underneath. That's called a gal. So the word gal has two things. It could either be completely opened or completely closed. So he brings a maral. The maral says like this. Who knows what the word gaal means? Every day we say it right before Shemana Esrei, we say gaal, redeem. Gaal geula, right? Geula? What does geula mean when Mashiach's going to come? That's Geula, redemption. Geula is a gimel lamed. What's in the middle of the gimel lamed? Aleph. Aleph. What's the aleph stand for? Hashem. You want to be redeemed? You want to be redeemed? You have to see Hashem in the gal, in the closed place, in the galus that we're living. In the galus. We're living in dark times, terribly dark times. If you see the aleph, you put an aleph in the middle of your gal. Time's up. Oh, it's 12:30 already. Okay, we're going to finish with a story. Yeah, we have another 2 minutes?
It was a sensor.
Sensor, oh. So gal, again, gal is closed up. It's galus. The word gala means to go into galus. How do you get out of galus? You got to see Hashem. You got to put an aleph between your gimel and your lamed. Your gal gal, we said, is yavan. The world's just rolling along. Put an aleph in there and realize the wheel is not just running along. It's hard to see it, but who's running the world? Hashem's running the world. And what does Hashem want from us? He wants us to brighten up the world with our mitzvahs and our ma'asim tovim. He wants us to see Hashem in the world, to open up our eyes and realize that Hashem is there. And the more we value what we do, we don't just do it by rote, we do it because we realize that every mitzvah we do is serving Hashem. We're bringing the geula. We're bringing the geula and we're living geula. You can live right now a person who has a little bit of that foresight of the days of Mashiach. That is what Gaal is. And that's what Chanukah is all about. Bringing out the light in the darkness. Bringing the Aleph into the Gaalus. The Aleph, the seeing the Anoichi, seeing Hashem. And I'll finish one story, very similar story to the other one. Finish with a similar story. There was a Rebbe, we're doing a lot of Rebbes today. There was another Rebbe called the Rachma Strifka Rebbe, Rabbi Yechanan of Rachma Strifka. His last name was Twersky, same as mine, yeah? But he was a great person. So he lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he had chassidim, and he had a little boy, a chassid. This chassid was walking to shul on Shabbos, and guess what he sees on the floor? Nice wad of shekel. What does he do? It's Shabbos, can't pick up the money, right? So the kid decides he's going to stay there, he's going to wait there till after Shabbos, he's going to watch the money, and after Shabbos, he's going to take the money and... Yeah, you with me? You got the story? What do? You take the money on Shabbos, Chas v'Shalom? You wait there till after Shabbos? Depends how much money it is, no? Everyone has their price. Depends if it was Friday night, Shabbos afternoon. Anyway, it was Shabbos afternoon and it was a lot of money. He's waiting till after Shabbos. Comes along an Arab guy and he looks and he sees the situation. This Arab guy knows about Shabbos. He sees what's going on. Takes the kid, beats the daylights out of him, takes the money and goes. Okay? This kid comes to shul, to the Rachmas Trifka shul, and he sits down and he starts crying his eyes out. The Rebbe walks in and says, "Why are you crying?" And he tells the Rebbe the story. And he says, "Don't worry. What are you crying about?" He says, "Approximately how much money it is." He tells him how much money it is. He says, "Come to me after Shabbos. Come to me after Shabbos. I'll give you the money." The kid's happy. Walks into the Rebbe's room after Shabbos. Comes at night. Knocks on the door. The Rebbe walks him in. Says, "How much was it?" He tells him how much it was. The Rebbe goes to his drawer. Takes out the money. And he's about to hand it to the kid. He tells the kid, "But I'm just one thing. I get your schar. I get your reward. You were beat up for keeping Shabbos? Here's the money. Mitzvah's mine. That's the deal." The kid looks up at him and he says, "Rebbe, if the Rebbe is ready to pay all this money for my mitzvah, you can't have it. This mitzvah's mine. I'm not giving it to you." And he walks out. Same lesson. What you value a mitzvah, there's no way in the world that you could imagine how much reward you get. Every Shabbos you keep, every tefillin you wear, every tzitzis. And you know what that all doesn't come to? Very famous saying, everyone knows it, all your rebbeim know it, they probably told it to you. The Rebbe Elia Lapian used to say like this, "The world would have been worth it to be created for one Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai." The entire world, where are we up to 5,700 and would have been worth it to create for one person saying one time Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai. And you know what Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai? One Amen is 1,000 Baruch Hu Baruch Shemais. Who's our math guy? Keeping track? One Amen is 1,000 Baruch Hu Baruch Shemais. One Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba is 1,000 Amens. What are we up to? One Yehi Shmei Rabba is 1,000 Amens. That's 1,000 times 1,000 million? Whatever. It's a lot. Baruch Hu Baruch Shemais. And you know what he said, Rebbe Elia Lapian? And he said, one Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba doesn't touch one word of Torah. One word of Torah. 1,000 Yehi Shmei Rabbas doesn't touch one word of Torah. So you imagine every word that your Rebbe teaches you, that you listen, you know what a value that is? You're getting worlds and worlds that we can't even imagine how much they're worth. And that's what Chanukah is all about. Bringing out the light. Gaal. Bring a little light into this world. Realize that Hashem is running the world and our mitzvahs are so valuable. Hashem should give us all a wonderful Chanukah.